As the deep passes forth, the waters of my soul. This message was preached during the Laborers' Convocation with the theme, Unto All Good Works. It was held between 24th and 27th October 2012 at Nisi Training and Retreat Center, Kaduna, Nigeria. For further inquiries on these and other messages, please contact Refuge Media at Trinity Methodist Shopping Arcade, No. 1 Constitution Road, P.O. Box 7332, Kaduna, Nigeria. Telephone 0702-971-9745. 0703-456-8035. Email info@theplaceofrefuge.org. Website www.theplaceofrefuge.org. May your heart find rest as you listen in Jesus' name.
Our Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the release of the Spirit of God. We thank you for the comfort that has come in our generation. We thank you for the open heavens. Be thou exalted this morning. Let your glory break forth upon us in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to read two passages again this morning. Unto every good work. Yesterday we began to talk about prepared unto every good work. But this morning we'll be looking at equipped for every good work. We said yesterday that every man that God has brought to himself, whereas it is by grace we are saved, it is the gift of God, no man can boast about that. But every man so saved, so brought into the kingdom of God, must be prepared in a very meticulous divine preparation in order to fit into what God. Some of you sense God is calling you to an area of service, but you presumably just went into it. God does not, because of the urgency of the task, compromise on the training of his workers. If you are going to be a laborer with God, God only uses trained vessels, prepared men. I was rushing many years ago about what I thought God should be using me for. And my reason was that the souls of men are perishing and that people are already dying, that I need to run. And to my very great surprise, I heard God saying, sorry, they have been dying before you were born. And they will still die after you are gone. I don't use an unprepared vessel. A prepared man is more important than a prepared sermon. And I start to sit back to say, Lord, so what do you mean by that? He simply said, unless I have prepared a man for the assignment, he will not be able to lift a finger even if he goes on the field. Yesterday we are noting that every man that must be so used of God must subject themselves unto preparation. We saw that for Jesus, God took time to prepare him. 30 years in preparation, only to execute a ministry for 3.5 years. John the Baptist, 30 years in preparation, only to execute a ministry for 6 months. That's how God rates preparation. He rates preparation over and above performance. The truth of the matter is that when a man has been well and thoroughly prepared, the time of performance is usually very short, and he will achieve what God wants to achieve. Whereas many of us would like to spend a very little time in crash program of preparation and spend donkey years roaming around on the platform achieving nothing. Many of us would like to rush out of the quarry only to get to the platform of ministry to be struggling for space because you have not been cut out for what you are struggling to do. As far as God is concerned, when a man is thoroughly prepared, God's work does not actually delay. It is a misconception to think that the only way to hasten the work of God is to rush out without adequate preparation. Contrary, that is actually the greatest way to delay the work of God, to delay the purpose of God, and to make God's work so sluggish and so polluted. As I looked through the Word of God, I found this as a constant phenomenon. God emphasizes a man's training, a man's preparation over and above his platform performance. If I give you several illustrations, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised that God had wanted to use Moses, do you remember? Actually, before Moses was born, the people were already suffering in Egypt. He was actually born in the midst of the problem. And as soon as he was born, his parents saw, they had a vision that this one is the deliverer. They saw that he was a proper child, this is the one that will deliver us from our problems. And for that, they devoted themselves. They did not fear the wrath of the king. They desired that the young man must live, and they were ready to pay any price. You will have thought that that boy would grow very fast, and that in another, by the time he's 12 years, he should have started manifesting the power of deliverance to set his people free from the bondage of Egypt. But you wonder what God was doing, that the young man was 40 years in the palace of Egypt, learning the language, learning Egyptians, learning everything in Egypt, right in the palace. And after 40 years, it occurred to him that he should go and see the plight of his people because he knew he was not Pharaoh's daughter's son. And he was moving in the chariot to go and deliver the people. And he carried a rod and he killed some Egyptian, one Egyptian. You would have thought that God was in haste to deliver his people. He would have just used that brother immediately. When they asked him, sorry, the only training you have is the Egyptian training. The only training you have gone through is that of Egyptian. Who made you a leader over us? And God was behind that question. Because God did not speak on that day and say, I'm the one who called you. Did God speak that day? When they challenged him, who made you? Was there a thunder from heaven to say, I am the Lord, I am that I am, I call him. Submit to him. Did God say that? God will not introduce a man he has not prepared. You may put a big poster around for yourself, but until God has prepared a man, he is not ready to facilitate him, he is not ready to introduce him. is not ready to put him in the platform. For whatever assignment, listen to me, whether God is going to use you to express his work on the pulpit or in politics or in academics or anywhere, only when God has prepared a man thoroughly can he bring him out to the platform. I want you to mark that in your heart. And that question, for God to be able to answer it for him and introduce him, it took him aside for how many years? Oh my God. Since when have people been suffering? Since when? How could God be wasting 80 years? 80 years! But you know, with God, 80 years in training. For God to deliver the children of Israel, do you know that by the time this man went to Egypt to set the people free, it didn't take 8 weeks for Exodus to take place. Exodus happened in a very short while, to such a point that Pharaoh himself was confused. Said, you mean it has happened? You mean these people have already gone? He thought he can run to bring them back. Because he never bargained for what happened to him when God has prepared a man. When God has prepared a man, he releases such a great grace that makes the work of God done in a very short while. Please hear me very well. Struggling to do something for God when you have not stayed in his training, you are just going to waste time. Exodus happened in a very short while, and can I inform you, if not for the unfortunate unbelief that came on the life of the children of Israel, how many days will it have taken them to have entered the land of promise? So which means that everything will have been finished in less than 2 years. Which means they will have entered the Canaan land, they will have settled in, even Moses himself will have been alive for another 40 years, settling with them in the land. Unfortunately, 40 days became 40 years for them because of unbelief. So what am I trying to say? God's emphasis on personal preparation of his workers far, far outweighs the time of performance. I wish God can strike that deep in your heart, because many of you are so much in haste and you don't want a thorough preparation. Some of you are truant in your preparation. You are in and out. One of the things you don't understand is that when God begins to prepare a man, it is cumulative. So every time you truncate it, you begin again. That's what you don't understand. You don't understand that when you start following, God is building a cumulative experience. But something tells you, no, they are wasting time. Let me quickly go and do something. Then you break away, thinking that when you come back, you will join it where you disconnected. No. What do? You go back to start almost from the scratch. And so many people say, I have been in this thing for many years. I don't know when I will become anything. God is wondering, when will you settle? Let me ask you, how many years was Moses continuously under the hand of Jethro? Do you know what the Bible said? And he was content to stay with him. He was content to stay with him. There is this lack of contentment to stay for training in many of you. There is this lack of contentment. It looks like, it looks as if it's a reasonable thing to do, to keep rushing. No, when will I finish this? No, I need to go. My days are finishing. The work of God is perishing. I need to move. I must go to Kenya. I must go to this. I must go to that. And I see you doing like this, shaking your body and moving up and down. And you cannot settle down. You only truncate your training. You only scatter a cumulative preparation that God is bringing you into. I said yesterday that for Jesus, God will not waive it. He did not waive it. Jesus did not have a special concession as to job his preparation. If Jesus did not have such a special concession, friends, do you think you will? Do you think you will? I'm not hearing you. Can you tell somebody by your side, don't truncate your training? It will be a waste of time. Before I get on to deal with the issue for us this morning, I would like to note with you that God will not put his signature on a man who absconded from the workshop of his training. God will not append his approval on a man who did not settle down for God to finalize what he is inculcating into his life and into his spirit. One of the problems that many disciples have faced that has made them to be in discipleship and yet they never came out with anything is that they are restless. They are restless. They are restless. When will this thing come out? When will I become anything? When will any result come out of my life? They worry themselves, not knowing that it takes God nothing to make you great when it was time. Not knowing that it takes God nothing to finish what you have been struggling to do in 10 years, to finish it in 1 year. But because of space of time, I would just want to beg God that he will give you understanding. Some of you made response yesterday that you want God to prepare you. How many of you raised up your hand before God and said, Lord, prepare me a sanctuary. Don't stop me halfway until I am thoroughly meet for your use, until you can take me to the gates to confront your enemy. Don't stop working on my life. Where are your hands, let me see. Do you want to take it further? You want to follow that up until something tangible comes out of your life. The Lord will help you. The Lord himself will provide opportunity for your preparation in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't have space to speak to you about God's instruments of preparing his men. But as you read through the word of God, you will notice that when God wants to settle on people's lives in order to make them what he wants, it is not just a cognitive training. Even though you will have some intellectual exposures, that's why you can go to school and all of this, and we thank God for that. But the training of a life to fit into the divine plan or purpose of God cannot be done in an arbitrary theoretical situation. It has to be done where life is on life, where you are in the context of the experience that will bring you onto that maturity to be able to handle what God is laying before you. And I'm praying that God will provide that. God can provide it through different means. For Moses, a Jethro was provided. For Joseph, as wonderful as Joseph was, he could not stay in his father's compound and become that thing that God spoke about. He needed a different kind of training. So he had to go into the house of Potiphar. And in that house, he was a slave. And when the training in that house finishes, and he will have graduated and they wanted to employ him to start servicing Mrs. Potiphar, it came to him that this is not what I was training to become. I was not training to become a surrogate husband for an old woman like Potiphar's wife. I don't know whether some of you missed where you are going. Where you are supposed to pass through has become your destination because of some little things they are giving you to eat. May the Lord force you out of that place in the name of Jesus Christ. The next place of training was in the prison. You will never expect that it was God doing all of that until you will read. Let me read a passage for you so that I can conclude that safely as I go ahead this morning. Can you go to Psalm? The summary of the life of Joseph was given to us in Psalm. Psalm 105, Psalm 105. Look at the word of God in verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. Who did that? So listen now, these are the issues I want you to catch before I go away. That when God wants to prepare a man, and God wants to give you a training base, there's nothing God cannot do. He can, because of you alone, break the whole staff of bread in the land. So I saw that the famine that came on the land of Canaan, that affected several lands, that made people to start migrating to Egypt, it was for Joseph. He said, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Now, so from what we are reading here, who sent Joseph? How did he send him? When his brother sold him as a slave, it was God. That's what some of you don't understand. Some of you, your brother, your uncle, who was to settle you in business, disappointed you. That's how the business that you will have started, you couldn't, and you landed yourself, you find yourself landed in a place where you are doing journeyman. And forever you are embittered against that your uncle because you have not understood that God works in mysterious ways. His wonders to do what? To perform. Some of you have resisted the divine wisdom in relocating you to where you will be properly developed. Some of you will keep fighting against the divine plan to bring you to where you will be broken, and where your life will be put in shape, and where God will begin to quietly fine-tune you for what He wants you to become. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for the servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Oh my God, are you understanding that kind of passage? Can you read it for me from Good News or from NIV? Verse 18. NIV, sir. They did what? Excuse me, let me take it from here. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons, my God. Till what he foretold came to pass, my God. Listen. No. Listen. Could God be in that kind of arrangement? You are not talking to me. Could God be behind this kind of arrangement? Eh? Could that be God's way of preparing Joseph for the position of leadership that God showed him when he was dreaming his dreams? If it is not that the Holy Spirit is reporting it that this is God, what have you thought it was all along? Eh? You have thought it was the devil. And you have blamed his wicked brothers. So they are wicked. But they were not wicked. They were only instruments of divine preparation. Instruments. I pray that God will help you to locate the instruments that will formulate and form your life for what you are supposed to become. And don't be too arrogant. Sit down and say, God, what am I learning from here? Don't truncate it so that you don't waste God's plan for your life for a long time. Whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until when? Until the time that his word came. Who tried it? The word of the Lord did what? Tried him. It's very strange. So all those times that they put him in prison, it was the word of the Lord that was trying and testing and training him. When he has finished, look at the word of God. I want all of you to hear me this morning, because I just pray that this matter will be clear in your spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Until the time came that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, and to teach his senators wisdom. Now, I want to ask you two questions. Let me ask you a very simple question. If Joseph had joined the civil service of Egypt, how long will it take him to rise to this level? Let's talk. All of you, talk to me. Eh? Do you think a stranger will ever be promoted to become the prime minister in charge of economic affairs in Egypt? Let's imagine that Joseph never was sold as a slave. He was never imprisoned. He was free. He went to school the way he wanted, and he came to Egypt and got his visa, and he started working there, and he was never a slave under anybody, and he never went to any prison anywhere. Let me ask you, how many years, if at all this was to happen, how many years will it take for him to become the one that would teach all the senators of Egypt? Let's talk. Now, that's what I wanted to show you. You see, God, when he keeps a man long in training, he cuts short his years of roaming around the platform. I don't know whether you are with me. How can a man who yet the last day, if they paid him at all, was this the payment of a slave? How could he come all the way from that prison? And he did not go through the ranks. And the next place he landed was the second in command over the entire empire of Egypt. And his own master, who bought him, was now the chief protocol officer that was serving and running up and down for him. How could that have happened? Now, when you refuse divine preparation, you delay. In fact, you make impossible the manifestation of the promises that God has given you. Am I communicating with you? Again, before I go ahead this morning, I sense that I must tie together what we said yesterday. Are you sincerely willing that instead of jumping up and down, you will bend your head and put it under the yoke for the Lord to prepare you? Eh? Will you stop running up and down and say, God, let my preparation, let my training be my agenda now. Let me leave the time of manifestation, the time of introduction, to you to decide. Lord, I want you to decide where you will take me to. He had entered into an assignment of taking up an orphan. When did he adopt Esther? Who remember? Was bringing her up, and that girl was under that training. How did I know she was well trained? When Mordecai said, don't tell anybody that you are this, she kept quiet. She believed in that wisdom. When her father said, I think you should attend the beauty contest, she did. When the man said, when you get into the house where they keep the women, whatever they give you is what you should do. Don't say you know how to do anything. She said, yes, sir. And look at a girl, a slave girl, from nowhere. Suddenly, she became what? The queen. of the largest country in those days, 127 provinces that extended from Ethiopia to India. My friend, and Mordecai was sitting down there at the gate, like Megad. But that's a man that God is going to bring into top leadership, even in a strange country. But God kept him there as a Megad. You cannot understand the kind of thing I'm dealing with when God chooses to prepare a man. This morning, he came to work as a Megad. Are you understanding? He was standing at the gate as a Megad. He even opened the gate for Haman. Are we together? Haman thought that he was going to kill him that day. You can't kill a man that God has been preparing for greatness. It's not possible. So, as he was coming, the matter changed. The king gave an order. There's a man I want to honor. And when the man announced all the kind of things that should be done for such a man, thinking it was for himself, the king said, yes, everything you have said, approved. Go and do. You know, there's one man at the gate called Mordecai. Go and pick him now. Change his clothes. Change everything about him. Change his designation. Put him in the second presidential jet. Driving around the whole country. Tell everybody to honor him. When you have finished all of that, bring him back to the palace. My God. Just 8 a.m., a Megad. By 12 noon, the second in command in the whole country. How can that kind of thing happen? Some of you think it was magic. People think it's miracle. Modern preacher will say, yes, you can be born a pauper. You will die a millionaire. Say amen to that. Foolish. Foolish talk. Foolish talk. You don't know that what has gone in for Mordecai now to be ready for that was several years of divine preparation. If it is not a divine preparation, look at when his daughter became a queen. If you were the one that suddenly political opportunity just opens. One of the disciples we are raising suddenly became governor. What will you do? You start riding car. You go there and say, tell the governor that I'm around. Tell him that this car that I've been riding has to be changed. No. Mordecai still told his daughter, never you tell anybody that I'm your father. Leave me at the gate. Because what God is preparing me for is not just for you to change my dress and give me some turkey to be eating or to find one local appointment for me. No. He's preparing me for something. When the time of preparation finishes, he will introduce me. You don't introduce me. It takes a divine preparation for a man to wait for God. So when Esther got in there, nobody knew. The girl kept her mouth shut. Her father was at the gate, Megad. How can the father of the queen of the greatest country be serving as Megad? That's the divine preparation we are talking about. That cuts away your appetite. That deals with your greed, that deals with your ambition, that will finish your hurry, your hastiness.
Some of you, God is about to do something, but you are in haste. So you quickly interrupt God, and everything scatters. Do you know Mordecai? He even did something that they will have blown everywhere. He said, don't worry, just write it down. It's no time for reward, I'm still in training. I don't know whether God will give you understanding that the men that God used for His greatest assignments, it takes time to do what? To prepare them. Their years of training is usually longer than the days they struggle to manifest. Manifestation appears sudden when a man's training had been thorough. Am I communicating with you? I want to ask you again. The process, the discipleship, the training, the spiritual preparation, even the social preparation, even the psychological preparation, and the life preparation that will fit you for every good work. Are you willing to allow it? Are you willing to allow it? Because the next thing I want to discuss this morning is incumbent, is dependent on a thorough preparation, equipped unto all good works. We cannot deal with equipping because God does not equip unfinished man. God will not equip an unprepared man. And I really pray I can make this very simple and very short this time, trusting God to help us. Do you understand what I said? Oh God, do you understand? So if the Lord is pointing to us about discipleship, and the kind of discipleship I'm looking at this time, it's not just that kind of, hey, well, we are going for discipleship class. No! I'm talking about hands on your life, training you, fine-tuning you, for you to fit into what God is demanding of you. Some of you needed to be prepared to handle kingdom resources in the coming days. But having not been prepared properly, the first 20 million that will come into your hand will blow your head and you are gone. Whereas God, in His determinate counsel in the coming days, need to prepare some persons, and it's a divine preparation who will handle resources, who will handle money. These men are dead to money. Money does not even pull one hair from their body. Money does not make them to run anywhere. God said, now is ready to handle in billions for my kingdom agenda. But because many of you say, no, how can I be here? Yeah. Let me just go and catch up. You are gone. So when a little money came to your hand, you used it to kill yourself. When everything has scattered, you now came back. Say, brethren, please pray. The thing that I went for, I don't just know how everything just scattered. Let's just pray. I think it's the devil. No, there's no devil in this matter. Anyway, you see, the devil is very unlucky, he's very unfortunate. He has to be blamed for everything because he's the devil. Don't mind devil, Joe. Since he chooses to be devil, he must be blamed for everything. But I know many times the devil says, look, for this one, me, I know devil. My hand is no day for this though. Why are you putting on me what I never did? He said, well, since I have to be blamed for everything, it's okay, but I never do this one though. God, you also know that I didn't even touch this one. Brothers. So we want to look at equipped unto every good work. And I want to read a few passages again this morning, hoping that the Lord will give me help as we again illustrate this very quickly with several lines. Again, I cannot finish without pointing to you that even Jesus could not go unless he was equipped. Eh? You don't expect that Jesus, the Son of God, the one that was born of the Spirit, right from inside, you don't expect him to be needing power, but he had to be equipped before he could face the task ahead of him. Equipped unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? May be complete, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But if you read that from another version, what did NIV say about verse 17? So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How did Amplified Bible put it? So that the man of God may be what? Repeat it so I can repeat it for you.
So that the man of God may be complete and proficient.
So that the man of God may be complete and proficient.
Well fitted
and thoroughly equipped
for every good work.
Thoroughly equipped, well fitted and thoroughly equipped. Complete and proficient for every good work. How did Living Bible put it? Fully equipped. Fully equipped. So let's quickly look at the need for divine equipping for the work to which God is calling your life. Preparation is a very critical aspect that we have talked about. But the end point of divine preparation is divine equipping. Please hear me now. Your discipleship must end in equipping. Praise the Lord. Your discipleship, your training, your divine preparation must consummate in a proper, thorough equipping for what lies ahead of you. The reason why we have to take all of this together is because God does not prepare a man and send him out without equipping him. God doesn't do that. He must equip those that he has prepared. But before I begin to look at things that God may use to equip a man, let's first establish the matter of equipping very quickly as we go from here. Praise the Lord. Now, I have talked very seriously about Joseph this morning. But one thing that I will not fail to remind you is that Joseph did not just go through the Potiphar's house. Joseph did not just go through the prison. If by the time he was coming out of the prison, there was nothing with which he was equipped to strike his generation. Will he be relevant? Eh? Now, can you imagine what happened? Let's quickly check that. Genesis, I think, 39 now. Genesis 39. Genesis 39. You will notice in verse 21, I just want to be noting some few things with you, because I will be trusting God that you will be understanding what I call divine equipping. The one that I know many of you are very, very excited about is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is great. But I would like you to know that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, again, is a consummation. It's like a container for all the various equipment that a child of God will need in order to be able to complete what God has given him to do in life. And that's why when we read that other scripture, it said the scripture was given by the inspiration of God and was noted and said that the man of God might become complete, proficient, thoroughly equipped, and well fitted for every good work. Now, we will begin to see that as we go on now. Verse 39, 21. Are you there? But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Friends, the first thing that God must equip a man with, who he intends to use for his glorious work, is not first implements, is not first skills, neither is it first resources like money. That is not the first equipping. The first equipping that God, equipment, must give to a man when he has prepared him is to equip him with himself. You are not hearing me yet. What was the first thing that God equips any man with? He must equip that man with his presence. Whatever you will do for God, if His presence does not settle with your life, you are not going far. So one of the things that must culminate in our training must culminate into one thing. It must culminate not just that we have Bible knowledge, not just that we are now teachers of the Bible, not just that we have become interpreters of dreams, not that we can now prophesy. The first thing that your preparation, your training must culminate into is that God decides that now I have put myself to go with you. Friends, I don't need to have money if I have God. I don't need to carry any other weapon if the Lord is with me. If God be for us, who can be against us? One of the very critical equipment that God releases to a man that he wants to work with is himself. That was what was the critical issue when God was telling Moses, I will not go with you, but you can go. You don't know that Moses knew that, What did you say? Did I hear you very well? That you are not going with me, but an angel will go, and that the Jebusites, the Perizzites, the Gergesites, the Canaanites, all the sites that they will fall are. You know, for a man like Moses, who had known that his greatest weapon was not anything he held, it was the God that was with him. He knew that to miss that primary mother equipment of all equipment is to endanger his life completely. He said, I'm not going anywhere. Friends, one of the things I'm praying that God will help you to long for is the presence. I really pray that you will cherish the presence. You see, this is a difficult thing to discuss. Because you see, in this generation, people talk things. They're talking about, what will you give me? What are you holding? What do you have? What is that? What do you know? Everybody's talking about what? But the first equipping that God must equip you with if you are going to succeed is to say, behold, I am with you. You see, I am with you. It's more than that you have a million. I am with you. It's much more than if there are legions of angels going around you. I am with you. It's beyond having a whole bank to your credit. I am with you. Is what makes a man's message to carry weight. Let me tell you, anytime I go and I'm preaching and I do not sense the presence, the message, in fact, I will wound my tongue before I finish a 30-minute talk. And it bounces back. Wah! You will lose your voice, but nothing will happen. The scripture, no matter how wonderful it appears, it will become dry, like ordinary letter. Even if people are hearing you, they will not hear you. It's a poor man that carry gadgets. In fact, honestly speaking, I want to tell you that. When I see people talking about, I have this, I have that, in fact, when we are going, I have that number of things, I say, oh, what a poor man. What a poor man. A poor man is the man that goes about with assets. When God wants to bless you, He doesn't give you assets. He gives you access to Himself. Access is greater than assets. Access to God is greater than assets that you can accumulate. So you see, the greatest thing in the life of Joseph that people could not understand, that made him to prosper even in the house of Potiphar, that whatever he did prospered. And when Potiphar noticed that whatever this young man touches, he just had great success. The man said, well, when I even told him not to touch, and I touch it by myself, it scattered in my hand. But whenever he did, something made what he did to succeed. We don't know what it is. Put him in charge. They didn't know that there is an invisible equipping that brought increase to everything this boy did. The Lord. My prayer is that you will, your training, your divine preparation, whether you are going to be in business, you're going to be in academics, you're going to be in politics, you're going to be on the pulpit, you're going to be on the throne as traditional rulers, may God equip you. With what? His presence. Now, may I tell you that God's presence going with a man should never be taken for granted. It's not as cheap as many of you think. Many of you think that all of you have the presence of God with you. You do understand. Well, you know there's that general where 2, 3, or 4 are gathered, I'm there in their midst. There's that general something. There's that general something that many of you can claim and say, well, God is with me, hallelujah. Whether I know it or not, God is with me. All of that is okay. I don't worry you about that. But when God wants to really, really commit Himself to a man after He has prepared him, what does He do? He deliberately equips him with His tangible presence. This thing I'm describing this morning, it is indescribable. It's not easy for me to describe it. Only when you experience it, you know it. Or when you have lost it, then you will know it. People don't know what made Samson peculiar. They just saw that he did things that nobody could attempt. He alone will slaughter 1,000 people with only a jawbone of an ass. They were wondering, where is his strength? When they draw the picture of Samson, they used to draw him as a giant. I don't think so. I don't think he developed such a heavy muscle, because people would have thought that his strength was in his muscle. They saw him as a mere man. If he was a giant, that his presence was fearful. Do you know that Philistine would have first of all run away from him? But he was such a man that they could be playing riddle and joke with. He was not so fearful looking. And he could just sneak around here and be talking with a girl. And so I realized that what was with Samson was not what many of you used to think. It was a presence. And what he lost, are you hearing me? Was not skills. Didn't lose skill. He still said, I will arise as I used to. Because he was talking about skills. I will shake myself. He was talking of skills. But the Bible said he did not know that what? That the Lord has left him. What was that equipping? And I want to tell you, it is possible for God to give you speaking in tongues, and he will not give you himself. It is possible for you to have, you know, eloquent way of speaking, talents, but he may never give himself to you. It is possible for God to give you money. What is God doing with money? You can have money. But it's a different issue when God says, I give you access to me. For me, brothers and sisters, that is the basic equipping that my preparation must culminate into. That's a prayer I long for. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to get anything at the expense of that. I don't want to be anything different from that. I want to be a man who carries God about. I don't want to be, I want to be lost in the crowd. I want to be ordinary. Because you see, our equipping is not a matter of big dress. It's this invisible presence that settles on a man's life. And he goes and he knows that God is here. And sometimes, do you know, for Jesus, he says he went somewhere among the doctors of law and all of that. And as he was teaching, people marveled. Where is he getting this? And then the Bible said, for the Lord was with him to work wonders. Are we together? So, I noticed that the equipping. So, go quickly. I wanted you to mark that before I go to the next point. Now, can you move now? Go with me to chapter 41. In chapter 40, that was where they were dreaming their dreams. And maybe you should stop a bit in verse 8 of chapter 40. And they said to him, we have dreamt a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations, does what? Belong to God? Tell me, I pray you. And so they told him their dreams. So in verse 18, Joseph answered and said, this, did you see that? This is the interpretation thereof. So go to chapter 41. I just wanted to mark that because I want to make a point and then I go away from there. Chapter 41. This is when Pharaoh has dreamt his dream. And he did not know what to do. So in verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I've dreamt a dream. And there is none that can interpret it. And I have said, I have heard say of you, that thou can't understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now let me ask you, what did Joseph have that was leading to interpretation of dreams? He had access to God who gives interpretation to dreams. This is a very tiny issue that I don't know how to talk about, but I pray God will give you understanding. When we will be coming to deal with the manifestation and the gift of the Spirit, one of the misunderstandings that has ravaged the church is that many of us think that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are taken away. You think that you can collect a gift and go and be operating it anytime. That anytime you like, you can prophesy. Anytime you like, you can just heal the sick. You say, that's my gift. That's my gift. I collected it from God. You don't know that that's not how the Holy Spirit actually operates. Every time any of the gifts of the Spirit was to manifest, are you hearing me? It is the Holy Spirit Himself that works. But He only works through a life that He has decided to work with. So if there is no access to the presence, if the Holy Spirit as a person is not present, none of His gifts is active. So, when they brought him out here, the issue now is that the Lord who is with him is the one that gives what? Interpretation to dreams. So, he told the two men, he said, his interpretation, does interpretation of dreams not belong to God? Tell me. You were wondering, what is the meaning? As if he's saying, and I have that God here. So tell me, I will connect with him and he will tell us your dream. And that was what he did. As they told him, he connected with him with whom he had access. He said, Baba, this man has done this. This man has done this. What is the interpretation? And the Lord spoke to him and said, this is the interpretation. You know that he wasn't beating about the bush. This. How did that happen? The Lord was with him. Now, may I say to you, every gift, everything that will be like tools in your hand for the fulfillment of the work of God, it will come because the Lord's presence is here. I don't know whether you hear me at all. All the manifestation that you need to carry out the assignment that God has given you will only come while the presence of God is with you. I have experienced this again and again and again. In fact, I don't want to experience anything different. No. What I have experienced in life, I don't want to exchange it. I have found that in any situation, the only thing I need to be sure of is that He is with me. If He is with me, I go to any situation, on the spot, He gives answer. He gives direction. Whatever gift of the Holy Spirit that needed to manifest at that time just comes. But because of the kind of space we have in this meeting, we cannot be dealing with this. We can only begin to note with you that the equipping that now releases the gifts. You will be thinking that this brother, his own gift is interpretation of dreams. Let me say to you, yes, God has trained him and prepared him. And one of the tools that God will use to take him to the greatest place in his life will be this gift of interpreting dreams. But how will he access this interpretation of dreams? By the presence. So, look at the Bible very quickly. Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, "It is not in me. God shall do what? Shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "In my dream." So he told him all the dream, told him all the dream, told him all the dream. And Joseph said in verse 25, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." Did you see authority? Eh? Some of you will be wondering, how did Joseph come to that? Because I want you to note that the king just told Joseph the story. And Joseph had not moved even for one step. You know, all those acrobatics that many of you do. When there is nothing there, you just want to create an impression to the poor people. As if you are looking for something. So everybody's, you know, they are all jittery, they are looking and saying, "Hey, maybe he has discovered where the thing is." So the poor woman will say, "Amen, amen." Guy, you will not do that again in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, when a man has been equipped with the presence, he is not sophisticated. He is not complicated. Very simple. He stood there, having got there access. He said, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." And when he finished telling the story, when he finished giving all the meaning, he now went beyond the meaning. Praise the Lord. In verse 33, he now went into the application. This time now, do you know what is coming to manifest in his life? Word of wisdom. Supernatural wisdom. Or what we call divine strategic insight into what men must do. You will notice that what is manifesting here now is an economic strategy. But this is coming not because Joseph had gone to the London School of Economics. This is now the manifestation of the wisdom of God that overruns the economies of the world. And maybe some of you don't know that the anointing, the equipping we are talking about, is not just equipping to come and prophesy inside church building. Some of you don't know that the gift of the Holy Spirit is not just about, "A sister is standing here." There is something between your throat and your neck. And the thing that is in between your throat and your neck. You see, maybe you don't understand that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is to subdue the world, is to deal with nations, It's not about killing mosquitoes. We are all preoccupied with peripheral issues. What ordinary codeine and Panadol can handle? You are spending a night vigil on it. That's not what we are talking about. We need men that will be equipped with the wisdom of God, that will speak into the economic situation of a nation and it will stand accurate. They will have peculiar insight into some discovery that will turn things about. And when they open their mouth and begin to speak into that, those who obey, their life turns immediately. Maybe some of you don't know that God was speaking to Moses about equipping, and he said, "Behold, I have put the spirit of wisdom on Bezalel and Aholiab to prophesy." Eh? To do what? To design, to cut stones. So I'm asking, so is there an anointing for architectural designs? So you mean that even craftsmanship that makes things to be set comes from God by an anointing? Say, "I put my spirit upon him." It's the spirit of God. But for Aholiab, these are the things he will be doing. You are surprised. What most of you thought, that when we talk of baptism in the Holy Spirit, you are just thinking very narrowly. You are only thinking, it never occurs to you that you could be anointed to teach aeronautics. You never imagine that anointing can make you to stand in the realm of science and nobody will be able to withstand the wisdom with which you are walking. You never thought of that equipping. So when all of us thought we are being filled with the Holy Spirit, we are all rushing back into the church service, so that when Brother A finished prophesying, Sister B will prophesy, Sister C will prophesy, Sister D will prophesy, and then the man of God will stand up and say, "Yes, the father of all prophets is standing here. Yaba Ruse Meyekero Rankokobo Rasata Yaba." Thus says the Lord. All of you are blessed. The Lord said you are blessed. Excuse me, the Bible told us that. And if we have been reading our Bible, we already know that. There's no need to come and be telling us what we can read in the Bible, and you are claiming that that's the Lord saying. The Lord has spoken in his word. Stop wasting our time. You see, the kind of equipping unto every good work that we are talking about, it goes into dealing with national issues. It's all right. This is not the day to talk about what I need to speak in this regard. Let me go away. So, the Bible said, verse 33, he was now bringing the word of wisdom, divine strategy to solve a national problem. He said, "Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, set him over the land. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not. through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find such a one as this is? I want you to see the commendation now. A man in whom what? The Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. Thou shalt be over my house according to all thy word, shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Listen. Listen. Are you listening to me? How will God create a way? How will God provide a platform for his work to be done in our lives? Listen now. It is by his equipping. The gift of a man makes a way for him. I'm not talking of bribe. I'm not talking of a wakuduru that you do and say, sir, this is for madam. We're not talking of that. Did you see what is making Joseph to override all the senators in Egypt? All their engineers and astrologers? Do you know what it is now? They were looking at a man. They said, where can we get another man who is as discreet as you are? So the divine equipping makes him excellent among all his colleagues. So when we are talking of equipping, I want you to know that your equipping will be contextual. Am I saying anything that you don't understand yet? When God equips a man, he also equips him to function in the context of his natural environment. You see, the matter now is that dreams have been interpreted. Is that okay? If David, Joseph finished interpreting and said, this is your dream, guru guru guara 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 guara, and he did not have a further equipping of wisdom as to speak into the practical application of what he saw in the spirit, will it be of any relevance? Will it be of any relevance? We don't need interpreter of dream to manage economy. So what is it that you thought that you see now that has brought Joseph into leadership? What is it? The wisdom, the strategic wisdom that God gave him now, that is directly applicable onto how to handle grains, how to handle land, how to handle money. That was what the Egypt king, Pharaoh, could not deny. I said, okay, come and handle it for us. Come and handle it for us. Even though this brother was a spiritual man, what was he handling in Egypt? What was he handling in Egypt, please? He was handling economy. He was a prayerful man. He can always dream his dream, interpret his dream. But now, his appointment is not about sitting in the office and anybody that has dream, he says, yes! You dreamed yesterday and you forgot your dream. The Lord told me that in your dream yesterday, you saw a cat. The cat was black. He jumped on your bed. Before you know it, he came near your feet. Think, remember. Your dream came between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. Yes, sir. Ha! Maracos. Now come in the evening for special prayer so that all the black cats that are running after your destiny They are jumping from your head to your leg. The anointing will break that yoke. Don't forget to bring a special revelation offering to activate your miracle. You see, Joseph was equipped with something that is contextual, something that is relevant, that could handle the situation of men in order to establish the glory and the purpose of God in his own generation. Are you with me? And that was what happened. That he was advanced, he was lifted up in all of Egypt. And by the time his brothers came to find him in Egypt, they found a big man in whom everything that is in Egypt was in his hand. And he dealt with the situation. Now, when you go away from Joseph and you came to the life of Moses, you will notice that God, after he has prepared him and it was time to send him, what did God do also for him? He equipped him. Did he equip Moses? Did God equip Moses? He equipped Moses. Again, I would like to note with you that the first equipping also for Moses was the presence. Was the presence that God said, I will be with you. I will go with you. I am come down. When they say, who sent you? Say, I am that I am. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12 of chapter 3, Exodus. Look at Exodus. As far as I'm concerned, that was the greatest equipping before we start dealing with all other things. In verse 12, are you there? Oh my God, are you there? Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. And he said, certainly, certainly, I will do what? I will be with you. And this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. God was giving him a very clear token. He said, so that you know I'm with you, you are coming back here to serve God on this mountain. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Moses was very, 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 having been pushed away by the same people 40 years ago, he said, God, I'm not doubting you, but if I go now, they will ask me, what is the name of that God you are talking about? In fact, they will say, he did not appear to you. What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am that I am. Thus shall thou say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Go and gather the elders and tell them. And by the time Moses had come to this point, there's something in his life now that he is going with. Even though, I want you to hear me, even though he had a rod, that God now said, so what is in your hand? He said, my rod. And he dropped it. And you remember all of that equipment. What I want to share with you is that the power in the rod was not independent of the presence of God. Where? In his life. Oh God. Every tool of ministry was only made active when the presence has settled on a man's life. It is the presence that makes every tool of ministry effective. Have I communicated with you? Because very soon I'll just stop now and we shall pray together. It is the divine presence in a man's life that translates even ordinary tool to become powerful and effective. No tool of ministry is effective by itself. It is the presence that activates, that gives life, that releases virtue into it. So when he carried the rod, so when they were going to fight Amalekites, you remember, and Moses said, you guys go and fight on the field. I will go to the mount. I will hold this rod. Did you remember the Bible said, whenever the rod was lifted, Joshua was winning. Whenever his hand went down, the people were winning them. I was wondering if Aaron, I said, well, Moses, you are tired. Let's carry this rod. And they took the rod from his hand and they carried it like this. Would there be any victory? Why? Eh? A man that does not carry presence, even if he carries the rod, nothing will happen. It will be an empty stick. Because what activates every tool of ministry, including preaching, preaching is only a tool. The only thing that activates every tool of ministry and makes it effective is the presence. Resident where? In the life of the man. So you know what Aaron did? Aaron knew that I have been with Moses for years. I don't know what he carries that makes a difference. For me, I know I'm not there. I'm interpreting for him, but I don't carry what he carries. The only thing we can do is go and get a seat for him. And one hand here, let's help him carry out his hand so that he will keep holding his rod by himself. We can only be supporting like this, so that we can't collect the rod though, because we don't have what it takes to carry that rod and it will work. Aaron knew his level. But look at a situation where with another man with a rod. Elisha. You remember Elisha? You remember his rod? He has used this rod to raise the dead severally. When the woman of Shunammite, the Shunammite woman, you remember? When her son died and ran, and Elijah said, God, you have not told me the problem. And he put his rod, the rod that has worked wonders before, he gave it to Gehazi. You remember Gehazi? Hey! Gehazi carried the rod. He ran there, guru, 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 guru. When he got there, he saw the dead child. What did he do? He laid the rod many times. Nothing happened. Why was the rod powerless in the hand of Gehazi? Eh? It was the deficiency of presence in Gehazi. He never took his own discipleship serious. He didn't understand that it's not about eating and collecting offering. He thought that he could be using the gimmick of the man of God to collect offering. He didn't know that what compels people. you know that some of us, you see us here, we don't need to beg for offering. No. There's something resident here that draws the heart of people. Sometimes I'm surprised. It's not about, come and bless the man of God. No. I wish you carry what we are talking about. Many of your problems will be solved. I must not tell you those kind of stories, because some of you will start. You start, that's the kind of anointing I want. That's not where it begins. That's not where it begins. Doesn't begin with offering, doesn't begin with gifts, doesn't begin with all of those things. It begins with acquiring a divine presence that does not come to you occasionally, that settles permanently on your life. You sleep with it, you wake with it. You travel with it, you eat. There. So when Gehazi ran with the man's rod, because he doesn't carry presence, the rod was a stick. Are we together? But look at Elisha. Elisha knew that it is not the sermon notes of Elijah that he needed to collect. He knew that there's something in this man, resident in Elijah, that is not about his method of speaking or even his clothes. Some of you, man of God, will come and he will throw his mantle. Is this mantle now they call it? He will throw his mantle and say, catch that mantle, you catch the anointing. You are just wasting your time. So many people are running up and down. Yeah, I want to catch that mantle. For what? For what? How do you catch a useless sweat of a man? That's not the issue. What's the issue? There's something resident. It's not in their clothes. So Elijah knew about that. He told the man of God, what I want the double portion. Of what? Of your spirit to rest on me. I don't want your clothes. I don't want your miracles. I don't want your methodology. I don't want your sermon. There's something in you that makes you different. I have been with you and I know that you are far, far different from me. The same word that you will speak, things will happen. If I say the same thing, nothing happens. So I know it's not in words. It's in something in you. That's what I want. The man said, you have asked a hard thing. I cannot give it up. But if you see me, when God takes me up, then God may give you. I said, that's okay. I'm getting it from God. That's the issue. The presence. The presence. And as soon as people saw Elisha, they know. They said, the spirit of Elijah has fallen on Elisha. They know it. These are things that you cannot take the photograph of. These are things that, as they are doing this video now, it cannot show. Video does not capture what we are talking about. So it's not about photograph. And sometimes some of you don't understand. You quickly see a man of God. You go and stand with him and take a photograph with him. And then you'll be going about with ordinary photographs. Say, I took photo with him. His anointing is also with me. You are joking. Doesn't come like that. These are all misunderstanding that has filled our land because some people deceived you. So when God was going to release this man, It was His presence. So the rod he carries could become active. Praise the Lord. Are we together to that point? After 40 years that Joshua had followed Moses, and it was time for Moses to go. You know what God says? There is this man, Joshua, in whom the Spirit of the Lord is. I have equipped him with myself. Put your honor on him. Finish. He did not have rod, but he carried a presence. How many of you will like God to equip you first with himself? How many of you? And it will be your pursuit. It will be your cry. It will be your prayer. Lord, equip me for my assignment. And the equipping is you. Lord, I need you. I need your presence. I need the person of your Spirit to settle on my life. Do you know that God was not going to allow Moses to go? He said, I know. Look at what God said. Look at what God said. In chapter 3, verse 19. Who will read that for us? Can you read it? Verse 19. Verse 20. Exodus 3. Yeah.
But I know that the king of Egypt
will
not let you go unless a mighty hand.
I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. Yes?
So I will stretch out my hand.
Who will stretch out his hand?
God.
God said, I will stretch out my hand. Yes?
And strike the Egyptians.
Uh-huh.
With all the wonders that I will perform among them.
Yes.
After that, he will let you go.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
May the Lord give you understanding. I will not need to spend time on this anymore. Let's now go forward. Can we go forward and notice that Jesus also was equipped? The culmination of his 30 years of preparation was the equipping. God must equip every man that he is preparing for an assignment. But let me add a very simple word here. At every stage in which a preparation has come to a point that something can be done for God, you are equipped for that assignment. When God wants to enlarge your assignment again, what does He do again? He takes you into the place of training for that. And when that training is finishing, what does He do again? He equips you afresh. So the equipping that I'm dealing with is a continuous and progressive equipping. I want to be knowing the presence of God in my life much more. And I know that there is a progressiveness in the assignment that God gives a man. I know that. I know there was a time when all I needed God's presence to deal with was to face the students in the secondary school where I was teaching. And I remember I prayed so much. I said, God, go with me. Go with me, Lord. Go with me. And I will gather 40 students. And I'm threatening, how can I speak to these 40 students? And suddenly something will happen. And I will see the children. They will just break into tears and they will begin to repent. Some of them that repented then, they are now pastors. Some of them have gone far in their work with God. And they are doing well. But I still remember the small classroom where they were confronted. I still remember the village classroom where I stood and I was teaching the word of God, and conviction fell, and the whole student were confessing openly, I'm a womanizer, I am this, and their lives were changing. And I could see some of them, they have gone far with God now. Yes, even at that point, I need an equipping. But I also know that as we went further with God, the dimension of our assignment in life has increased. And for that, there's a need for further preparation. There's a need for another level of equipping that could sustain. There was a time we don't need anything. You just preach the gospel, you just go away. But there comes a time when, yes, God is saying, I want to give evidence to what I'm asking you to do. And this will be needed, that will be needed. I said, Lord, can you equip us with that? He said, no problem. So, what am I noting with you here? That when God has finished preparing you for a particular stage of the work, He equips you for that. When you need to expand into the next, He withdraws you again into His training base for the next level, and He equips you for that also. Are we together? Now, let's see Jesus being equipped. Let's go to Luke. I think it's better in Luke. No. Do Matthew first before you look at Luke. Matthew chapter 3. You remember Matthew 3? Eh? Oh, brothers, you don't remember Matthew 3. Do you remember Matthew 3? Go there. In Matthew 3, the Bible said, in verse 16, and Jesus, when He was baptized, He went up straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were what? Were opened to Him. And He saw, what? The Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. These are very strange passages. But we cannot settle down there now. I just want you to note that this was happening after 30 years. 30 years! He had not been a sinner, so he was not using 30 years to overcome sin. No. He had not been rebellious, so he was not using 30 years to correct himself. But for 30 years, he was learning obedience. In 30 years, he was acquiring the human experiences that will make him fit for what God is dealing with him for. And he's coming out now, the Holy Ghost. So go to Luke chapter 4. And you will see in Luke 4, two, three things that I want to draw your attention to. And then we shall go. Because I will be asking you in a few minutes to rise on your feet as we pray together. In verse 1, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, are you there? And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Full of the Holy Ghost. One of the things I would like you to note here, did you notice that they didn't say He was full of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Did you note that? You are not noting that at all. Did He receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What did He receive? The Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit descended upon Him like a dove bodily. Bodily. If you read it in verse 22 of chapter 3 of Luke, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape, like a dove upon him. He received the Holy Ghost. Is the person, is the presence of God that came to set you on his life. Now, go to verse 14 of Luke 4. You know, in Luke 1, being full of the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Now, in verse 14, what the Bible said, and Jesus returned in what? In the power of the Spirit into Galilee. In verse 18, what did the Bible say? And the Spirit of the Lord is what? Is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. If you go from there and you go to chapter 5, are you in 5? Would you like to read verse 17? And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And what did the Bible say was present? And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So, you can see something in Christ Jesus. He was equipped. He was equipped with the presence. The Holy Ghost. And when he returned, we are told, he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was teaching. You see, he was teaching, and the Bible said, the power of the Lord was present to heal the people. If I went to that now, you will not understand. What I saw with Jesus in all his ministry is that the presence, the Lord was with him to walk. So he could say, I myself, I can do nothing. It's my Father who is in me that is doing his work. Do you remember he said something like that? That is it. That's how he operated. May the Lord bring you to that equipping in the name of Jesus Christ. When he was going, he warned his disciples, said, never you depart from Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Did he say that? And so, in chapter 8, look at what he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, 8. I really am concluding on this note. That's why I'm just asking to read the scripture. In verse 8, you know, the people had asked, Will you now restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. But what will happen? You shall receive power. When? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. What comes first? What comes first? You see, I'm hearing people say power. Is it power we receive first? What comes on us? is the Holy Ghost. It is the presence that must first come. It is because the presence of the Holy Spirit is now here, resident in my life, that I can now access power to heal, power to preach, power to teach, power to discern, power to confront situations, power for wisdom to handle practical issues, because He has come. It is not tongues we came to receive. What did we want to have? What do we want to have? The Holy Ghost. It was when the Holy Ghost came and sat on them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost that He gave them utterance. Unfortunately, we are looking for utterance in tongues even if we don't have the Holy Spirit resident. It is the Holy Ghost that comes. Then He gives utterance. Then He gives severally to men as He wills. So different things could now be flowing as channels through different lives. But it is the same self, same Spirit who is working all in all. This afternoon, the Word of God now says, all those that He has prepared, what does He do to them? That they will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want to pray that your discipleship will culminate into what? An equipping. An equipping with what? With His presence. With His person. The greatest thing God wants to offer you is not some little gifts from His cupboard. He wants to offer you who? Himself. In the person of Himself, in the person of the Holy Ghost. And as you get equipped, you carry Him into the office, you carry Him into the classroom, you carry Him and then you see miracles there. And if He's on the pulpit, bring Him on the pulpit, you see miracles there. He gives you utterance to teach, and as you are teaching, hearts of men are pricked. And they cannot resist the wisdom with which you will speak. The same thing was what happened to Daniel. It happened to John the Beloved. It happened to the apostles as we are reading their story. This afternoon, you will stand on your feet and you will be praying with me. You will say, Lord, prepare me. But as you prepare me, I need your equipping. The equipping for your assignment is the equipping with His own presence. Equipping with His own presence, with His own person, His own personality. We're going to pray now. I want you to stand on your feet. And we're going to just take that song. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving. Come. For you, Lord. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me. I want you to pray particularly now. I want you to deeply, from the depth of your heart. The assignment ahead of you, you must be prepared for it. But as He prepares a man,
He will not send you out empty-handed. Every man he has prepared, he equips. Sanctuary. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me. Holy, right and God from the depth of your heart. Now you are telling God, prepare me and equip me. As you are setting my life, you are setting my life, you are sharpening my life. I need you now and equip me. The equipping you are asking for this afternoon is with Himself, the Holy Ghost Himself. When you come to set you on your life, to sit on your life as a door, then he accesses his power. You can access his gifts. All the tools of ministry, they are only activated from his presence. Go ahead, brothers. Go ahead. Hallelujah. To go and pray. There are two things that God is going to be doing in our midst this morning or this afternoon. He will be laying hands on your life to perfect your preparation, and at the stage that you have reached, the Lord Almighty will want to begin to let there be an outpouring of Himself. An outpouring of a divine presence of power. The Holy Spirit. Coming upon your life. Thank you, Jesus. Masaba rabush indama kurubushi ziba rabush makatara kasambu rubush indaba baba baba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. When it was time for Moses, you came upon him. The Lord came upon him. God appeared to him. The Lord appeared to him. The Lord did a new thing in his life. The Lord manifested a different of his glory upon his life. Zeka Kusa Marubus. Rambo Sabaya Takurubushiva. Lord, prepare me. Lord, I need a different manifestation of your presence. Your presence. People of old, they couldn't go anywhere until that presence came. Until the anointing settled on their lives. Elisha followed in discipleship for years. But it must culminate in the divine presence settling upon their lives. Something must settle on your life as well for you to be fit for what God is talking about in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Just go and pray and lift up your heart and say, Lord, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry while on others you are touching, while you are helping others. Yet I have known a level of help, but what lies ahead of me need a fresh equipment. I will not go unless you go with me. I cannot go unless you go with me. I will not go unless you will put your hand on my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father. Father. After the other, even though yesterday God began to speak to us about preparation, we noted this afternoon, this morning, that preparation may appear long, but if it is thorough, the time of accomplishing your task can be very, very fast and effective.
But when preparation is not thorough, when you are not thoroughly furnished, you can spend donkey years chasing rats and rabbits, and you will not achieve. And equipping only comes to a man that God has prepared. Equipping is a consummation of a particular training. Let's first take responsibility this morning. How many are standing in our midst and saying, Lord, it's clear to me that I've been too much in haste with my preparation. I have not given attention to my preparation. I am a truant. I've truncated your dealing. You are now struggling to grow through ranks, and it will take years, and you may never even get there. God only facilitates and introduces a man he has fully prepared and equipped. Maybe the first cry for somebody here this afternoon is, Lord, my preparation has to be thorough now. I'm sorry for jumping the gun. I want to come back. Prepare me, Lord. Prepare me for the assignment you are talking to me about. I have been presumptuous. I thought I don't need any preparation. I thought I could make it. You even formed a ministry. You ran away from under the hand where God could have trained you. Your Jethros are still looking for you. And you want that to be corrected this day. You want to return. You want to say, oh God, whatever training I need, if maybe yesterday you didn't respond properly, or it is this afternoon that God makes it clear to you and you need to make your response, you want to say, oh God, I can see now that the real genuine equipping for life and for ministry only comes when a man has come to the consummation of his preparation, of his training. You want to give yourself, to say, God, prepare me. Even if I have to relocate to be trained, even if I have to seek discipleship, even if I have to withdraw from this public activity so that my life can be formed for your glory, I want to respond. That's the first response that we need to take now. Where are you? As we sing that song one more time, two times, Lord, prepare me. I don't want to say I'm too old to go back to the place where you make men. I thought time is going. That's why I have jumped my training. Some of you, as young as you are, haste did not allow you to complete your training. And you are now just like a dropout. And you say to God, Lord, prepare me. If you are stepping out like that and you are saying, Lord, whatever opportunity I will have, whichever Jethro you will raise to prepare my life, I don't want to keep struggling anymore. I want to settle. Let me get it right from the beginning. You can imagine that even though people were already suffering in Egypt before Moses was born, since it would take those number of years for him to be formed, God did not cut it. But you see, he was there for 80 years before he could become useful. But by the time God was going to use him, it would have just taken about, I say, it wouldn't even be up to 8 months. The old issue would have been concluded. And if not because of unbelief that kept them, the old ministry will have been concluded in few months. Maybe it won't be up to 2 years. They will have conquered the land. They will have settled in. But when a man is not properly trained, he may be doing something for 20 years, what God could have done in 2 years. Lord, prepare me. We take that song just one more time. And as you sing that, that will be the first prayer. That will be the first issue this afternoon. Now, I want to ask, maybe God has brought some of you to a level where you are now realizing that your need now is equipping. Equipping with His presence. Can you also say, I will not let you go unless you go with me? Let's take that song for those that need to come out and say, Lord, I am offering my life now. I'm no more jumping up and down. Please prepare me. Some of you are already pastors, but you know that you needed to return back to the place of incubation. Don't be ashamed. You can't be too old to be prepared by God. Let's sing that song just one time. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary. Why those that are saying, Lord, prepare me? Why they come before God tonight, today? All those, the rest of us are saying, Lord, but I need your equipping. I need your equipping. There will be opportunity this afternoon for all those that are saying, Lord, but even the Holy Ghost must come on my life. Our brothers will be standing along with you in prayer. Until this has happened. God bless you right now. Tried and true. With thanksgiving. Do that quickly. We are praying together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. If you are doing that, do quickly before we stop on this. Brother Afam is not there to help me pray. Afam, please come and lead us. Now we're going to listen. This might be a beginning of a fresh direction on your life. Instead of struggling up and down, if you will settle on this in few years, in few time, you might be breaking forth. Alright. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, this afternoon, all those you bring to yourself, you prepare. I can see you preparing Joseph and equipping him. First, your very self, and with tools of ministry for him. His tool was that interpretation of dream which you activated. And then you move and equip him with wisdom with which he was able to stand and fulfill your destiny. I first of all agree before you on behalf of these ones that are kneeling down that it is time for preparation. Take them into your quiver. As you did for Moses. By the time he was coming out, he did not need to beat about the bush anymore. In few weeks, Exodus has taken place. And in few weeks, he will have settled the people in the land of promise. But for the unbelief that came on their way, Lord, this afternoon, make space for the preparation of this life. Amen. Whatever opportunity for their discipleship, for their training, for their preparation, wherever you want it, create a room for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, some have been in this for a while. And we are coming to a point where our cry is equipping. But we have realized that the equipping we are needing is not just about skills. It's you yourself. We are not going to let you go unless you go with us. Lord, those that are kneeling here, those that are standing out there, let there be an outpouring of your very self. As you came bodily on the apostles, you will come bodily on our lives. Your very presence will become the dimension of our experience. And it is from your presence that every tool of ministry will become activated for us in the name of Jesus. Lord, these ones, oh God, don't let them dissipate anymore. There are others that you have shown some things to do, but they are presently ill-equipped for it. Even though environment is saying, rush, 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 but you never rush. Lord, I ask that you will be thorough with our lives. From this hour, Lord, undertake for us. Those that are waiting for the outpouring of your Spirit in the course of this moment, oh God, you will flood them. Amen. You will flood them with yourself. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
For further inquiries on these and other messages, please contact Refuge Media at Trinity Methodist Shopping Arcade, No. 1 Constitution Road, P.O. Box 7332, Kaduna, Nigeria. Telephone 0702-971-9745. 0703-456-8035. Email info@theplaceofrefuge.org. Website www.theplaceofrefuge.org.